I greet you all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this opportunity and that we can listen together to the Lord and what He is saying to us this morning. Let us open our Bibles at Genesis chapter 19. And we're going to listen to the Lord by reading from Genesis chapter 19. And I'm going to read from verse 1. To verse 29. We've already started with a prayer, so I'll just start reading. Genesis 19 from verse 1. I will read from the NIV translation. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to our servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread with yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you. Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place." The outcry of the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful for them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to them, "Very well, I will grant this request to you. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. But flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Soar. By the time Lot reached Soar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abram got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, towards all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abram, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. We can say many things about this passage, but today I'm just going to draw a few lines out of this passage to our lives today and what the Lord is saying to us. And just, we're going to speak about the whole passage, but let us just read verse 19 again. It's the answer of Lot to the angels. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. You will agree with me that hospitality is very much important for Christians, and that we must practice hospitality. The Bible also says that we must be hospitable. For example, in Romans 12, verse 13, we read, "Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." And 1 Peter 4, verse 9 says, "Offer hospitality one another without grumbling." In the Old Testament, hospitality was also very much important. We see it in this passage. Two angels came to the city of Sodom, and at that stage, Lot didn't know that they were angels. They were messengers in human form. And he's offering them a place to sleep, and he's offering them food and drink. And earlier that day, the very same angels, the very same messengers, also arrived at Abram's place together with the Lord. And there Abram also received them with hospitality. But why did the two angels came to Sodom? They came to tell Lot that God is going to destroy the cities because of their wickedness. Earlier that day, Abram pleaded for Sodom, and he pleaded for Gomorrah, and he asked whether the Lord will destroy these cities if he finds 10 righteous men in these cities. Surely Abram was thinking of his nephew who was living in the city of Sodom, and he wanted to spare his nephew. And then the Lord said, "No, he will not destroy these cities if he finds 10 righteous men in these cities." But he did not even find 10 righteous men. He only found Lot and his family who find favor in the eyes of the Lord, and they were only 4. But still, the Lord decided to spare Lot and his family, not to destroy them with the rest of the city. And therefore, the angels came to the city of Sodom. And in Genesis 19, we read how wicked this city was. We read the whole story about the men who surrounded the house, a shocking history when we read about this. And in verse 4, we read that every man of that city was there, both young and old. All of them were around Lot's house. And the men of the city demanded to have sex with Lot's guests. Shocking history. Yes, all the men of the city want to practice homosexuality with Lot's visitors. And the Lord teaches us in the Bible that such deeds are detestable in his eyes. In the Old Testament, in Israel, such deeds were punished by death. You can read it in Leviticus 18, verse 2. And in Romans 1, Paul clearly shows us that it is against God's creational order. It's against his will, these things. And therefore, Lot wants to protect his guests at all costs. But the way he wants to do it is wrong. In itself, it's an honorable deed to protect his guests, but he wants to sacrifice his own two daughters. And he's willing to sacrifice the purity of his own two daughters for his guests. And here we see there was a problem with Lot's ethics, with his moral standards. Because he was trying to prevent one sin, but in doing that, he was willing to do another sin. And because he was living in Sodom and he was exposed to all the sin in the city, his own standards were lowered. And he was thinking, yes, I can do this thing to prevent another thing. He's trying to avoid one sin, but in doing that, he's causing another sin. And here we see how constant exposure to sin can lower our own standards. When we don't look at the world and we don't look at sin through the light of the Bible, sin can easily become acceptable to us. We can easily think, yes, I can do this thing. I can tell this lie now because it's only a small thing and no one is going to see this. Or this is not so serious as other sins which other people are doing. In the end, I'm not killing people, I'm not cheating on my wife, I'm not a murderer. So it's okay to steal the small thing or tell the small lie. In the end, I'm not so very bad. If we don't look at sin through the light of the Bible, it becomes acceptable to us. And that was the case in Lot's life. He was exposed to all these things in the city. And therefore, yes, the one thing was very serious for him. This homosexuality was very serious for him. But it was okay for him to sacrifice his own daughters. And therefore, we must also be careful to the things we look at. The things we look at on television. The things we listen on at the radio. And the conversations we have. And I don't say that we must separate ourselves from this world. No, the Lord says that we must be a light and a salt to this world. But this means that we must point out sin. And this means that we must be an example to the world how saved people must live. But if we are going to entertain ourselves with sin, it's going to influence our morality. It's going to influence our ethics. And therefore it's so important that we also look at our children. What are we exposing our children to? Do we know what they are looking at on the television? Do we know the music they are listening to? Because that is going to influence their moral standards. And if they are constantly exposed to these things, that is influencing their sense of right and wrong. So know what is going on, not in your own life and what you are looking at, but also know what your children are doing. And when the men of the city want to break down the door, the angel struck the men of the city with blindness so that they couldn't find the door. And in this way, God is protecting Lot and his family. And then the angels give to Lot the message that Sodom and Gomorrah will be destroyed. And they urge Lot to leave Sodom with his family. And Lot asked his future sons-in-law to leave with him, but they didn't want to go. They didn't take his warning serious. They thought that he was joking, we read. So Lot's influence in Sodom was not good. He was doing many things that people could question. And therefore, you have read together with me that they say, "Do you want to be our judge?" See, in some cases, it seems like that Lot did give judgment, but his own life was not always a testimony to the city. We must practice what we preach. Our lives speak just harder as our words. And it's one thing to say something to someone, it's another thing to do it yourself. And that was a problem in Lot's life, and therefore they are questioning him and questioning his motive. But in spite of Lot's moral problems and sins, despite of these shortcomings in his life, God is gracious towards him. And God saves him and his family from the destruction of the city. It is clear that Lot was not righteous before God because he was a good man. There were many problems in his life, many things that were wrong. But the faith in his life was the instrument which made him righteous before God. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, we read again of Lot in verse 7. And we read that Lot was righteous in the eyes of the Lord. But this was through faith, not by works. And God is showing us also great favor, and he is gracious towards us. We deserve God's judgment because of our moral corruptness and because of our sin. Because of our sins, God has more than enough reason to punish us like the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. But God, he doesn't do that. He sends his Son, Jesus Christ, to carry the punishment we deserve. And with his whole life, and especially his death on the cross, he took our punishment on him. In that way, he paid for our sins. He took the punishment we deserve away from us. We are righteous before God. And through faith, God looks at you as if you have no sin. Do you have this faith in your life? May God plant and grow this faith in you through his word and through his Holy Spirit. And this faith is also asking of you that you will flee away from sin. That you will, of course, we will never be perfect in this life, but you will take it out, take it away. Not lower your moral standards, but higher your moral standards. Why? Because of this great salvation he has given us. And he calls us, his children, to be holy. To be set aside, to be different, to reflect his glory, to glorify him through your life. It's important that we look at Lot's reaction to God's love and grace. We have read that the angels urged Lot to take his family and to leave the city. But Lot is hesitating. He cannot just leave the city behind. The angels literally had to take his hands and pull him out of the city. It's like a child who must go to school, but he doesn't want to go, and then his mother has to take his hands and pull him out of the house to take him to school. These angels, they pulled Lot and his family out of the city. And when the angels commanded Lot to flee to the mountains, he hesitates again. He rather wants to go to a small town nearby. Lot is receiving grace and great favor from God, and he knows that. We have read it in verse 19. He says, "Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life." But still, he hesitates. Lot knows God's grace and mercy and favor in his life, but he hesitates. He doesn't want to go. He's looking back. It's difficult for him to leave everything behind in the city. He does not want to leave his job, his house. Maybe he had many possessions. Maybe there were people in the city who he doesn't want to leave behind. And this attitude is showing a lack of gratitude for what the Lord is doing for him. Even his wife found it difficult to leave Sodom. We read that while she was fleeing, she was looking back, and then she became a pillar of salt. Grace and great favor we have found in our Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard that God's judgment that was supposed to come on us came on Jesus. And therefore obedience to God must be the first priority in our life. That must be the most important thing that we strive to. Outward things, our own interest, or sins cannot be the first priority in our lives. We easily live in the past. When you became a Christian, maybe you think of the things you had before you became a Christian. Or maybe you are thinking of other things you had in the past. A good position. Maybe good circumstances. Or you think of your childhood. A previous job. Anything in the past can become very important to us. And in that sense, we want to live for those things we had in the past. If you are driving a bicycle, you must look in the front of you. What is going to happen if you look backwards all the time? You're going to bump into a tree. In our Christian lives, God is calling us to look forward, and opportunities he is giving us, and opportunities of obedience. We must look forward. How are we going to serve God every day of our lives? Not in the past, and how it has been in the past. If we turn our Bibles to Philippians 3, and I want to close by showing you something from Philippians chapter 3. In verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3, Paul says that he is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And earlier in verses 4 to 6, Paul pointed out the things that were important to him. And he's saying that he has many outward successes that he can be proud of. He is circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. And then he says in verse 7, "But whatever was my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." Paul is saying that his biggest asset now is to know Christ and to be righteous through faith.
And if we confess together with Paul that our biggest asset is not our past or the things of the past, but if we confess that our biggest asset is to know Christ and to live for Him, then we must do that. Then we cannot desire to go back. We cannot look over our shoulders. Such desires point to a lack of thankfulness. Lack of thankfulness for God's grace and His favor in our lives. Let me just summarize all the things which we have said today. And we have just drawn a few lines to our lives today from this passage the Lord has given us. We deserve the same people, we deserve the same punishment as the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. But God, in His grace and love, gave His only begotten Son to us. And our reaction must be a life of obedience, which is looking forward, not backwards to the assets you had in the past. We cannot desire sin or anything else. Our greatest desire must be to glorify God. And we do that by obeying His commandments, by living by His word, by putting up this is our glasses and looking through these glasses to sin and how we can serve the Lord. May the Lord help us through His word and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us close by praying together. Merciful God, we want to praise You for Your goodness, for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your grace. Because when we listen to Your word, we realize that we deserve Your punishment, that we realize that we deserve to be punished like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, because we are sinful and we are full of moral corruptness and sin. But we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ, who took our punishment on Him, who died a terrible death so that we can be Your children. And we're asking You the grace of the Holy Spirit to realize the richness of this salvation, that it will not only be a repetition that we hear every day, but it will always be fresh in our minds. That we will see the different aspects of it, and that it will bring us to real gratitude towards You. That we may serve You, that we may see the seriousness of sin, that we will flee away from that. And every day we will ask, Lord, what do You want us to do? What do You want me to do this day to glorify You? Looking forward to the opportunities of obedience and not looking backwards of the assurances we had in the past, material things or other things that is going away. Lord, we pray for our college, for the staff and the students, that You will bless each one of them as they lead their churches, and also as they lead the college, that You will give them wisdom and understanding, that they will seek Your will and that You will be glorified also through this institution. And as we pray today, we also think of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who are persecuted for their faith, who are enduring hardships because they are true to You. We pray that You will strengthen them and give them courage and perseverance to hold on to the gospel and to continue proclaiming the gospel. We also want to pray today for those who are sick among us. We look to You as the great healer, and we ask, Lord, that You will give health for those who are sick.
We pray also for those with difficult circumstances, that you will help them and that you will guide them and show them how they must deal with it, and that you will comfort them in these circumstances. Bless us also the rest of this day in everything we do, our studies. Also give us joy in our studies. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.